That's good year.
Yeah.
And that gives us February and March and April and May and June to get these things underway at least.
Yes. All right.
And get those cables over to me. Thank him. Now, did we get out all of our cables? I read one Rosto wrote and then one y'all wrote to everybody, both of which I approved last night. One Rosto wrote to the Prime Minister, I thought was exceptional.
Yes.
Did that get out?
I assume that it has. I haven't.
I don't know whether I even called him, but you get it out and get it out to people like Australia or Canada or anybody else. Just change the names a little and fuzzes up a little. I like to do a lot of communicating with these people. I think it helps a good deal.
Yeah.
And I think we're weak on that. And I think after Honolulu conference, we ought to get out the details, because they'll be asked about them and they'll be answering them.
Oh, yes.
And these little countries, I do a good deal of that. I see nothing wrong with sending the ambassador and say, you please keep your people informed.
No. You saw the general one we also did.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's gotten out.
And you're sending, that's where you told them to take the declaration and take
that's
the...
Right.
Now, what about Fulbright's statement that we made a further commitment in the declaration of Honolulu that we'd regret and that would really affect peace at the United Nations?
Well, I just don't think there's anything to it. I don't think we've said anything that we hadn't said previously. I don't know what he's...
I think he says that we said in there that we would not only fight for victory over aggression, but victory over want and disease and illiteracy. So he doesn't like the word victory. And if you're going to have victory, I think the best way to have it's over aggression. I could see where he could say victory over their system and replace the government or something would be bad. But to just say we're going to stop aggression, victory over aggression, it looks like he's for aggression.
Yes, it certainly does.
And I think that's a position we ought to put him in. I think Dean ought to watch that very carefully, and I think Max Taylor ought to.
I'll speak to Max about it, yes.
And I think Max has got to get him some good phrases and summarize Gavin and summarize, put in perspective for the American people. Summarize Gavin in one, two sentences. Say, actually, Gavin pretty well stated his position after going all over the court and starting out and then being misunderstood. Finally getting back, he summarized his position by saying that he's really where the president is, or Lausche did it for him.
Yeah.
And then that I don't know what the hell Keenan's recommending. I couldn't figure out. I tried my best. It looks to me like that he's for our staying there with plenty of strength and doing nothing.
That's about it. It's a little hard to figure out what George is putting for.
Now, what is he doing down here? To get a little attention?
Oh, the committee called him. He just certainly didn't turn it down, but I suppose that's it.
Is he a limelight man?
No, he has, I would say middling so.
Uh-huh. He's not an authority on Asia at all, is he?
He's never been there he's never been to Southeast Asia. He said right at the beginning of his testimony, Mr. President, I don't know anything about the area, but that's the most damning part of it. If he'd stopped there, he'd been all right. He made one trip to Japan right after the war, and I don't think he's ever been in Asia at all since then. And as he says, he's never been in Southeast Asia.
Well, I think you all ought to be telling these people that, to your experts over there at the State Department, your writers.
Yes.
Because I think we've done a very bad job on our side of the fence.
Yes.
I don't see any of the columnists coming out at all. Joe Alsop's the only one. I don't see the Childers, and I don't see Doris Fleeson. I thought she had a rather mean column. I think we let them get by with the impression that somebody was bitching back here in the department that they hadn't had advance notice. They didn't know about it. They hadn't been invited.
Is that her this morning?
Well, that was a day or two ago. She was saying that the vice president's trip was just overnight and so forth. And it might have been overnight to some of these flannel mouths in the department that we don't
but don't tell everything.
Don't tell everything to him, but we agreed with the vice president. I had him set ready to go on the 15th day of January and had all these men picked from Cornell and every place and announced it by Porter on the 18th, but then decided I wouldn't do it because I was afraid Lodge won't buy it. I'm not sure he's bought it yet. That's why I'm sending this wire out to him.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be Lodge and Westmoreland on board, and because it won't go anywhere if they don't agree with it. And I thought the best way to do it was try to let them participate and see it.
Yeah.
And then besides, I wanted to see Westmoreland if I'm going to be approving these things, and I wanted to see how I felt. Then
I'm sure you did.
I didn't think it would do any harm to have men like Gardner and Freeman and them exposed to Key and Chew, and to let them see that I was really a great society man and try to get some of this general off of them. I think it acted damn fool in a press conference. Send me that press conference today.
The Key's press conference?
Yeah, and if you don't mind, dictate a paragraph interpreting like you did yesterday and pointing out he tried to avoid it every way he could.
All right. I tried to find out the names, but we...
I also want his 15th. I want his speech of the 15th, any other pertinent speech on this in this field.
All right, all right. I could not get the names of the correspondents that were questioning him. There's just no record on that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, fine, sir. I'll get this over to
you. Now, you get these cables out.
I sure will, sir. Bye.